to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Lalisa Williams Show. This is Coach Lalisa, and how are you today, Professor Terry?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you so much. Great, another great day, another great opportunity.
Hey, another great day, waking up excited about all that is going to happen today. I believe that greatness is about to happen to somebody if they would just stay motivated. Yes, you know, not for nothing. Motivation can sometimes be so elusive for people. Can't just seem to grasp their head around it or grab hold of it, and it just continues to slip away, you know. But we're here to help people to learn how to get motivated, stay motivated throughout whatever projects that you might be working on. For some people, you need to stay motivated for a long time. You know, I mean, let's face it, married people, come on now. If you want a very long-lasting marriage, you need to tune into this show and learn how to be motivated.
Yeah, because you know, it's so funny, but motivation touches every aspect of our life. And I guess maybe
exactly. The
thing is that people don't understand that motivation is a daily thing. It's like taking a vitamin, you know. Every day you want to take a multivitamin. And every day you
exactly.
want to take a multivitamin for success and motivation.
Exactly. And that's why people think that it's just a one-shot deal. So when they go somewhere, people go somewhere, they get motivated. They're all hyped up. They're all excited. And then a week later, the motivation is gone, and they're like, oh, that motivation stuff don't work.
Yeah, because they're not reading the instructions, they're not using the product correctly.
Exactly, which means you got to get this stuff every day.
Every day.
You got to get a daily dose of motivation. And so, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, that's why, you know, we should be on every day, okay, because people need it 7 days a week. It's so funny, I tell my students, you know, if you want to be successful, you have to develop a habit of literacy, which means every day, and I'm saying Saturday and Sunday,
right.
every day you got to read, write,
You're right.
or listen to view. So it's not an occasional thing, it's an everyday thing.
You're right, that's everything. You know, those of us who are into the church and what have you, and whatever we do, you can't do that thing 2 or 3 days a week. You'll be as weak as you'll be weaker than Popeye was without his spinach.
Without his spinach.
And he was weak. Come on now. anybody could take him out. But once he got that spinach, there was nobody that was outside of his victory when he took his spinach.
Well, that's the thing, and it's so funny. A lot of times you think that you know it all, and you don't know anything. I remember when I was young, we went to church every Sunday, and I thought that was a good thing, And I said, wow, this is good, man. Once a week, As I got older, I realized that, maybe we need to go to church on a Wednesday and Sunday. But then I got more mature, I realized that, we need to do this every day. Maybe we need to make this a lifestyle. And I think that what people need to do is make success a lifestyle. Make success a daily habit. So every day you're doing something to increase your motivation and increase your success. That's when the real fun happens, People ask me, what do I do for a living? I said, I write. But when I say I write, that doesn't mean like I just sit down and do this and do that. I mean, I live my lifestyle is a writer. I mean, I do everything that I can to advance that and to learn my craft and to motivate people to do it. But it's a lifestyle. It's not something that I put on. It's something that I am.
Absolutely. That's it. And, and to be able to teach people how to become that, I can see it really helping so many people, especially students who are struggling. Some students, people wonder, well, how come this student is doing so successful and why is this student failing? Well, a lot of times it's the lack of motivation. But people don't know how to get motivated. They don't know how to tap into either their own motivation. A lot of times parents and teachers don't know how to motivate students. And I know that's something that I have been able to somewhat break the code. And actually, the broadcast is on Monday through Friday, recognizing that people do need something each and every day. Now, no, you're not here with us each and every Tuesday, but this is the format. I mean, not here. You're not here every day, but this is the format every day. Motivation, whether it's, you're here and some days I'm just here by myself and then other days we have other people on. But that is the goal, is to recognize that people need to be taught about motivation. I know I was taught about it. I learned about motivation. And once I learned, that's like you going to the doctor and them giving you some machine. They're telling you, okay, you're not feeling that well, and they're telling you, okay, you go there because you're hoping they can make you better. They give you some machine to take home, but don't tell you how to operate it. Don't tell you what it's good for. Don't tell
And it's so funny because I think the same thing with education. I mean, I became smart in high school when I realized something that sort of shocked me because I was in high school and, last year of high school, I figured I'm not going to college because I can't afford it. The best thing I could do is probably get a job, at my mother's factory where she works at. I was sitting in class one day and I was looking at these white kids, and every time the teacher asked a question, the white kid would raise their hand and answer the question. I said, whoa, these white kids are really smart, Us black kids sitting in the back, making jokes and having a good time. I said, man, these white kids are brilliant. And English, and the Chinese kids are brilliant math. We're not brilliant anything. Lisa went home one night. I guess I was bored. So I sort of messed around. And I always would take care of my books, because I would make nice covers for them. And I would and take them home and take them to school and take them home. And one day, for some reason, one night, I guess I was bored, wasn't looking on TV, and I opened up the book, and Lisa, guess what? The answers were in the book. Who knew? I was so excited. The next day I went to school, and the teacher asked the question, and I knew the answer, and I raised my hand, and he ignored me. I said, whoa, wait a minute. So I raised my hand again, and he ignored me again. I said, whoa, what? That's discrimination? And then I raised both hands, and he said, what's wrong? I said, I want to answer a question. He said, Terry, look, I know you're trying to be a comedian, so I don't want to do that. I said, no, please, let me give me a try. So he asked the question. I raised my hand. I gave the right answer. My friend looked at me. I said, what's wrong with you? He asked another question. I raised my hand. I gave another answer. I got two in that day. The next day I went for three. I mean, I was so happy. I was so pleased with myself. And I tell
wow.
you, Lisa, I don't care if you're 15 or 50. When you have the right answer, you feel good. Okay, you hear me? You
That's
feel
motivation.
Good. And so once you start to look at your life in some really serious ways, when you find the answer, you find the key to your success, you feel good because you have the answer. And if you do it every day, you feel good every day. So I try to do it 3 or 4 times a day.
Well, Terry,
I really feel good.
Well, can you imagine? That's a powerful story, and thank you for sharing. Because do you know how many hundreds of thousands of children you have just helped? Because someone is listening to this broadcast, or they're going to tune into the archives, and they are going to hear what you just said. They're going to take it home and apply it to either themselves or to their student who might be failing. And I know if my mother could have broke it down to me the way you've just broke it down, that, you know what, Lalisa, those kids aren't just smarter than you. They were smart enough to find the answers in the book.
Well, that's the thing, and that's why questions are so important. You know, Jim Rohn says this in one of his books. He says here, give a lecture to 1,000 people. One walks out and says, I'm going to change my life. Another walks out with a yawn and says, I've heard all this before. Why is that? Why wouldn't both be affected the same way? Another mystery. The millionaire says to 1,000 people, I read this book and it started me on the road to wealth. Guess how many people go out and get the book? Very few. Isn't that incredible? Why wouldn't everyone get the book and miss your life?
Everybody doesn't believe it can happen to them or happen for them. But, I mean, I know you have a rhetorical question, though. But and we're going to talk more about, you know, Jim Rohn.
Course,
that's what our show is about today. But it's just so interesting that you're talking about, you know, how the light bulb basically came on for you. And
yes.
So I end up dropping out, doing horrible in school, nothing but D's and F's, hated school, thought teachers were stupid and education was for the birds.
That's something. What?
Was for the birds.
You were smart.
That was smart. My mother was busy with her 6 other children, busy with my stepfather, busy with her full-time job, busy doing so many things that I kind of was able to go sort of like under the radar. You know, she wasn't going to expend all this energy. She had taught me from a little kid about reading and, you know, keeping myself out of trouble and paying attention when I was in school. So I guess she figured, you know, you're in the 8th, 9th, 10th grade and you can't do the stuff that I taught you, you know, have at it. So
yes.
I ended up just not doing homework, never taking books home, dropping out of school, doing horribly. But when I went back to Estes County College in 1990, 15 years after dropping out of school in 74, I sat there and the same thing came over me. I sat there and said, wait a minute. Now, see, it was a difference when I had to go down to the bookstore and pay, you know, back then, 1990, you know, $40, $50, $60 for a book.
Yeah, that was a lot of money.
And I thought, and I wasn't on any kind of student loans. I was paying from this little job that I had, making about $6 an hour. And I bought those books and I said, I wonder if something's in there. I wonder if, and the teacher was standing up here talking, and I'll never forget my very first class. And I remember going home, such as you did, and I remember thinking, I'm thinking that all these people are in college. I'm looking around. I got the statistics on Essex, 10,000 students, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking that all these people are here. There's got to be something to this.
Got to be, yes.
Yeah. And so I was searching inside. I go home. Lo and behold, the person had given me a syllabus. Now, you know, in school, you don't get a syllabus. And maybe these days certain schools, but back then you didn't. So I go home,
right.
And I'm like, they got a syllabus, they got these topics here, they tell you what chapter, and then I notice, it's like, hey, chapter 1, chapter 2, and then it said test. And so I open the book and I start reading, and then I say, and going to school the next day, like you, teacher says something, and I spurt out the answer. And I'm sitting up front, the teacher focuses in on me, because I've gotten the answer. Now it's like the teacher begins just talking to me. So like you said, it felt good. I went home and did it again. Same response. Went to another class, did the same thing, same response. So basically, then I just got on a roll. And then that's how I learned that, what I learned was that you don't go to school because you're smart. You go to school to get smart.
Yes, yes. That's a revelation. That's the aha moment. Darren Hardy says in his book, The Compound Effect, that basically you get caught up in the big mo. And the big mo is momentum. Because when you start moving, boy, when you start those engines running, when you start opening that brain and whatnot, boy, that brain gets hungry. And that brain wants to eat all the knowledge and sight. And that's what happened to me. That's why I'm such a voracious reader right now. I mean, you would think, after all the books I've read, you know, I would be tired of books. But you know what? I love to find a new author. I love to find a new book. Sometimes I even look in my library and I see a book that I haven't read in a long time, and I read that book, and it's almost like a new book, because you know what? I have new eyes now. I have new understanding. I have a new passion. It's an old book, but you know what? There's no such thing as an old book. It may be old, but it's new to you if you never read it.
Well, that's true. And now we're going to jump into the topic that you wanted to share with us today.
Oh, yeah.
But before you do that, I just want to definitely make sure that I welcome our listeners. Welcome to the coach, to the Lalisa Williams Show. I'm Coach Lalisa. You're listening to Professor Terry Benjamin, if it's your first time. And he's talking today about who is Jim Rowan and how can he motivate me? Become a student of the Master Motivator by tuning in today. And just wanted to remind people of a couple of things. Later I'll come back and talk about the event that's coming up August the 25th, where we want to empower and motivate women entrepreneurs and leaders, but we also have vendor tables, and at that rate you don't have to be a woman to have your table. And here's the thing, yesterday we had an awesome show right here. I had 13, almost close to 13 millionaires on the show. And they were giving out information. They were giving out valuable tools, tips, and strategies. These were people that I knew some of them before they got their millions. I've absolutely watched them since 2009. I've heard their stories of how they got started somewhere in 2007 or 8, making their millions. They pound the pavement. They didn't go on television and somebody discovered them and they went and made a million. No, these individuals made their millions and then ended up with a TV show. So I want to encourage people to go back and listen to that archive. It was the bomb. I had over 100 people on the phone lines, dialed in, tuned in, listening, and there were a few people in the chat room as well. But most people were on the phone. They know sometimes in the chat room it gets cut off. So they probably like, we don't want to miss none of this. I had to actually up, just to have them on, I had to upgrade the radio show. So we now can actually, so we could be there an hour and a half. I knew there was no way I was going to have them on for a half hour. So we had to upgrade them out. So we'll be here for an hour today. I don't know how long you can stay, but the show was extended to 8 o'clock today. But I had to, because, first of all, I would have never been able to accompany over 100 people on the phone lines. Because with the free Blog Talk service, you only get a few phone lines. Mm-hmm. But when you have the premium service, you do get more. So just to let people know, just one show can take you to that level. And it was just a great response. So now, Terry, back to you with this topic about following this master, Jim Rowan, his powerful motivator. And what did you want to share with us? We're listening.
Well, the biggest thing that I want to share is, you know, again, Lisa, I think, you really amaze me, you know, because, you know, you're a person that really understands that, you know, to be successful, you got to hang around successful people. You know, if you want to be a millionaire, you have to hang around millionaires. If you want to be a successful public speaker, you have to go for the best. It's so funny. My public speaking career began many, many years ago when I was in my office at Union County College, and I was, at that time, I wasn't even thinking about teaching anything, But I was a college administrator. I was a college counselor. And someone called my office, and they were looking for a speaker. It was Black History Month, and they said, you know, could you recommend a speaker? We're having this Black History Month celebration, and we need somebody to give a keynote address. And I said, well, I don't know anybody offhand, but I'll definitely look around the college and see if I can find somebody. And I was kind of curious. I said, well, and then they said, you know, we would be willing to pay to have this person speak. And I said, well, like I said, I'll pass it along. And I said, I just had a curiosity for myself. I said, so how much are you paying for this person to speak? And they told me. And I said, whoa. I said, I can do that.
I know that's right.
And I got my first.
I know that's right.
I said, yeah, I can provide that.
I know that's right. That is funny, but you know what? Now that's good. I know that's right. Dude,
yeah.
That'll work. But yes, absolutely. Sometimes you just have to realize that. You look at Joel Osteen's.
Oh, please, yeah.
Who thought that, you know, he never thought he'd be a speaker in front of an audience, and look at him
right,
today.
Right. Yeah, because he was behind the scenes. I mean, he's the
mm-hmm.
one that ran the TV thing for mm-hmm. his father, and he never thought that he would, you know, his father was a dynamic speaker. He never
mm-hmm.
thought he would do that. But again, I think, again, as speakers, we all have our different styles. And the more
yes.
you learn about public speaking, the more you develop your own style. And that makes a difference, because the style of Jim Rohn is a different style from Stephen Covey, you know. But
all right.
they all have something to share. And just one thing before I get into my my text, just want to talk about Dr. Stephen R. Covey, who just passed recently, you know.
Yeah.
He was the author of the landmark book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which has sold more than 15 million copies in 38 languages and throughout the world. So this is a worldwide phenomenon. He just recently passed, but you know what? He left a legacy. And, you know, his book was entitled The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, but before he left, he gave us the 8th habit. And the 8th habit is from effectiveness to greatness, you know?
Mm.
And the essence of what he had to say is really simply this. You know, this is what the Stephen Covey left us. He said, you know, we need to do 1, 2, 3, 4 things. And he says, you know, like, there's really the 4 L's. Number 1, we need to live. Number 2, we need to love. Number 3, we live to learn. And number 4, we must leave a legacy. Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. This is from Stephen Covey. And again, although he has passed, again, another person who is inspiration for me. You know, again, if you want to be the best, you have to study the best. You have to hang around with the best. And as I developed my public speaking, you know, career, which is in addition to what other things I do, I realized that I need to find the best. And as I was studying, I would study Les Brown, I would study Wayne Dyer, I would study Brian Tracy, I would study Darren Hardy. And they always talked about this guy, Jim Rohn. I said, who's Jim Rohn? And so I began to find out who he was. I got books, I got CDs, I got DVDs, because I wanted to study this man. I think one of the things about college is that college teaches how to make a living, but college doesn't teach us how to live. That's why you have a lot of people who have that MA, PhD, advanced degree, but they're miserable.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
They're not happy people. You know,
I like that.
You know, they may have all the money that they need, but they're not happy because they don't know how to deal with relationships. They don't understand that life is to be lived. You know, love is to be had by all. We need to learn every day, you know. And again, leave a legacy. You know, I have granddaughters. My son just called me, a couple of days ago and said, you know, Dad, Michelle is having twins. I said, Lord have mercy. Twins.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, now I'm thinking about my twins. They're not even here yet. They're not even named yet. But my thought is to take care of them as my grandchildren, to give them something, to leave a legacy for them to carry on. Because I do believe in family businesses. I mean, I believe in healthy aging. I believe in lifelong learning. But these are things that I'm thinking about into the future. And so when I decided I wanted to be one of the best public speakers out there, I wanted to study with the masters, okay? And Jim Rohn is a master. He is a master, and he as well, he's passed. Now, he's longer with us, but his legacy, his lessons are still here. You know, and the thing is that Jim Rohn, he was so prolific. He covered so many different areas, you know, so many different things that he talked about. But his biggest thing was personal development. And I'd just like to share a few quotes from him on the area of personal development. And Jim Rohn, he says, and I quote, "Unless you change how you are, you always have what you've got." Okay? And Les Brown said it a different way. If you want to keep on getting what you get, keep on doing what you're doing. So what happens, these motivational speakers inspire each other. Jim Rohn goes on to say here that life is a unique combination of want to and how to, and we need to give equal attention to both. The most important question to ask on a job is not, what am I getting? The most important question to ask is, what am I becoming? Peter the man who inherits $1 million and isn't a millionaire. Here's what would be pitiful if your income grew and you didn't. We have more than we've got because we can become more than we are. So, and these things are valuable. And again, it's like scripture, okay? Every day, you know, you read the scripture. You start to get the scripture. One of the things I think was a tragedy is that we don't have prayer in school anymore. I know for myself, because I was the mischievous kid, you know, I was getting everything. But to having that prayer in the morning sort of calmed me down. Because I said, you know, if I'm praying in the morning like that, now God's watching me all day. Because I didn't understand what God was. I thought God was like a demon. And you rub a lamp and you invoke him. And then when he comes out, he's with you. Okay? Now, the way not to have him is not to pray. You see how naive I was. That's like Adam, you're talking about they're trying to hide from God. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from his wisdom. And what I found for myself is that Stephen Covey, Jim Rohn, these people have passed. Dick Ziegler, for example, is still with us. But I found these men became less philosophical and more spiritual. Wayne Dyer quotes the Bible all the time, and I don't think that's any accident. Because you realize that as you go through your success, as you go through your life, there's things that you can control. And it's things that are miracles because you can't control. You have no idea what's going on, you know. And that's when those opportunities come by for you and me, Lisa, that we never thought about. When I met you, many years ago, I never thought we'd be doing a radio program together. That never crossed my mind, you know. I never thought I would be on TV. I never thought I would have published 6 books. I never thought that I would be working on a film called Sexy at 60. I mean, I tell everybody, you know, Sexy at 60 is my $1 million idea. It's $1 million idea because it's so far-reaching, you know, and I've yet to scratch the surface. I keep on, it's almost like I'm starting and stopping and starting because, you know what, I stop because something else has come into this whole idea that takes it a step further. And so I'm at the point now where, you know what, hey, God lead me because I don't know.
That's right.
I thought I knew, but I don't know. And at 62, I'm almost embarrassed to say that I don't know. But you know what? I say, you know what? I may be 62, but God is eternal. So if you look at the age and whatnot, I'm 62. I'm a baby as compared to God. Why not let somebody who is smarter than you, wiser than you, bigger than you, to lead you? And what do you have to lose? Nothing. And what do you have to lose? With everything. And the thing is, not everything that you could imagine, but everything that you could never imagine. How about that? You know, and like I said, Lisa, I look at your progress, and again, I love you so much, you know, because I see you're a woman that just doesn't stop. You just won't stop. I mean, it's almost like somebody, you got the energetic body in you. You just going.
You know, when you talked about that.
I look at your Facebook page and you're doing it. I get tired, man.
That's like my sister used to tell me.
I get tired for you. But that's a beautiful thing.
Well, my sister used to say that.
I'm growing, you know?
Well, my sister used to say that, you know, she would say, I would call her up. She would say, oh, wait a minute, let me get your file out.
Please.
Because I know you're working on so many things. And then she said, oh, I got to get some sleep for you. You know, she would say she had to sleep for me. And we often laugh about that. And this is going back maybe like probably good eight, nine years ago. And she would be talking to me like that. And when I would call, you know, she'd be like, oh, wait a minute, let me get your file because I know you're doing something new. I got to keep up with you. And, you know, you're doing so much, I can't keep up. I got to sleep for you even. And but now, 8, 9 years later, you see, all of that work. And so the stuff that you're seeing now that I'm posting, this is all the work that has been going on for the past 10 years.
Yes. And it's paid off. But I think a lot of people understand that sometimes you got to wait
to pay off.
Exactly.
All of this stuff is the payoff. Exactly. Because while you're, see, what happens is, say, for instance, people, you know, they turn on their television and they see so-and-so there, a particular, you know, actor or what have you, and they think, wow, this person had an overnight success.
Oh,
well, maybe the opportunity came in one night, but the preparation to get the opportunity may have taken 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Well, see, that's the point. I think we live in a society, we want instant gratification, you know. We want to lose weight, but we want to lose 50 pounds by the next day.
Right.
It don't happen like that. You know, it takes time because, look, let's understand, you know, it took you time to put on those extra 50 pounds. It didn't happen overnight. So
exactly.
Okay? I understand that, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing that makes me laugh is that, you know, we have so many guys because, you know, Jim Rohn says another thing I like. He says here, everything you need for your better future and success has already been written. And guess what? It's all available. All you have to do is go to the library. But guess what? Only 3% of the people in America have a library card. Wow. That must be expensive. No, they're free. Probably in every neighborhood, 3%. And now we have the internet. So, you know, it's no excuse. I mean, don't tell me you don't know because it's available. It's so funny. It's like somebody took a $100 bill and put it in your pocket and said, you know what? All you have to do is reach in your pocket and pull that bill and you can spend it. You know, there's some people wanting to reach in their pocket because they think, well, you know, they must be booby trapped. You know? Or it must be something wrong. Why is this person giving me money? You know, why is Terry and Lisa giving us all this free information? Because we want a better world. See, I don't want you knocking me in the head, you know, when I become a millionaire, I want you to be a millionaire too, so that I don't have to worry about going in a certain neighborhood and whatnot, you know, because everybody has, and not so much what they want, but what they need. I mean, we need food, clothing, shelter. You know, these are basics. I mean, I think every person on this planet should have that, but then there's people who don't. You know, having a 52-inch plasma screen TV is not a need. You don't need it, and some of us really don't need it because we don't. Our places are not big enough for that. You got this big TV in the room, and it's taking up most of the square footage of the room, and you're sitting on top of the TV. So I want a TV if it's 52 inches. I want to sit back at least 52 feet. You know, I mean, we don't think. You know, we don't think that, you know, our life can be so much better if we took time to think. And that's why we present these speakers to you, like Dr. Stephen Covey, Jim Rohn, Wayne Dyer. We mention these people because we're not just throwing these things out there. We want you to go to the library and say, can I get a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer or Stephen Covey or Jim Rohn? Can I get a DVD by one of these people? You know, I told you one of the things I did for myself, and nobody told me to do this, you know, I watched the film The Secret, the 26 speakers in that film, I decided that I'm going to read at least one book by each one of those speakers. Just one book. That's 26 books. And, you know, with me, of course, I'm an overachiever, so I'm going to read more, especially if I find somebody who I really, really like. I'm going to read everything I can. I'm going to get the CDs. I'm going to get the DVDs. And this is an investment. But it's an investment in my future. And I love myself enough to say, well, you know what? I want the best for Terry because I know if Terry gets what he needs, we can help other people. And sometimes in a casual conversation, you can drop a gem. And people can run with that, you know? You know, plant a seed.
Yes. And, you know, and people, can get motivated to reach mm-hmm. their goals, and we're here to help them get motivated.
Right.
We're here, yes, to help them find their way, because sometimes it's hard when you're out there by yourself and you don't think that, you know, you don't think that you're on the right road. And sometimes it just takes coming alongside of one person to say, you know what, you're doing a great job, or, you know, what you're doing, I'm really happy for you or proud for you. And
yeah.
sometimes they could come on the day, they didn't know it, but sometimes they come on the day that you were just ready to give up.
Exactly.
The day that in your mind there was that little voice that said, you know what, this ain't really nothing. You know,
mm-hmm.
Who cares? You know, you've achieved this, you've achieved that. And then that person comes along to let you know that it is worth it, that there is more to it, that what you're doing is not only for you, but it's helping somebody, and maybe a whole lot of bodies, and that God has need of. You know, I think about the scripture where they said, you know, Jesus has need of this particular, you know, animal, or, you know, he has need of it. So the talents that we have, God has a need in the earth somewhere. We don't always see how it fits in.
Well, that's the point.
You know,
that's the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so interesting, because I think, again, when you and I talk about education, we talk about it in a holistic sense. You know, we say that education is all the mind, the body, and the spirit. Jim Rohn says here, under the subject of knowledge and education, he says here, learning is the beginning of wealth. Learning is the beginning of health.
Mm-hmm.
Learning is the beginning of spirituality. Searching and learning are where the miracle process all begins. Formal
mm-hmm.
education makes you a living. Self-education makes you a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, the thing,
that's
you know,
powerful.
Like you said before, Liz, you said we can't do it alone. It reminds me of the example of the three doctors. You know, three
yes.
doctors in New Jersey, you know, who
yes.
all went to medical school together, who
yep.
all helped each other together, the
mm-hmm.
Dr. Sampson Davis, George
mm-hmm.
Jenkins, and Remick Hunt. And they
mm-hmm.
wrote the book called The Pack, about
mm-hmm.
how they put their thoughts together. They put their resources together, and they fulfilled their dreams to become doctors. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, one of the things I like to do, and I'm going to do more of it, is have a symposium with older men and younger men, because I think that dialogue between older men and younger men can help us both. Because one of the things is that as you get older, you do lose energy. I mean, you know, I have to really push myself sometimes, you know, because I don't have the energy that I had when I was in 20 and 30. So I have to really, I can't waste energy. I'm more focused than I ever been, because I know I don't have as much energy as I used to have. But you know what? I have more energy than most, because, again, for me, my passion gives me the energy. But my passion is to do what we're doing right now. I know people, as much as we talk about these people, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Dr. Covey, Jim Rohn, Brian Tracy and whatnot, there are people who won't read those books, but that's okay. Because if they tune into your show, they will learn. We'll give them a digest, okay? We'll give them a writer's deep digest summary of what they should be reading, or what they should be thinking about. So that's okay. You know, just hang with us, and we'll take care of you. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's our goal. That's our legacy. But you know
mm-hmm.
what? You can't be. I mean, you know, the Bible says, you know, you can't, you know, you can't hang out with fools and expect to be successful. It's the blind leading the blind. It says the blind leading the blind, and they both fall into a pit.
Right.
This was
right.
said many years ago, but it's still true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't plant an apple seed and expect to get a pear. It don't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you like to say, what you sow, you will reap. And I used to think that was punishment, but now I realize as I get older, what you sow, what you reap is a good thing. When you invest in time and energy,
mm-hmm.
when you invest in another person, I invest in my wife, I invest in my children, I invest in my students,
yeah.
and what I reap is things I could never imagine. I mean, that's why Facebook is so important to me, because
mm-hmm.
I've contacted students who I haven't spoken to in 20 years and said, Professor Benjamin, I still remember the lesson that you taught me. I said, whoa. And I mean, it makes me laugh, because I believe I've gotten better as a teacher, you know, now than I've ever been, But I guess I was pretty good back then, too, because I gave something. But now I'm like, more. So them actually, you know, contact me through Facebook and whatnot, it's a blessing to me, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, and this whole thing about, you know, motivation and with Jim Rohn and Dr. Stephen Covey, people who have motivated us, and I certainly got motivated at the right time, and then you know, only to realize that motivation, well, it can be external, absolutely, or it can be internal. But certainly I figured that I would have more control. I'd made a choice over the internal motivation because I felt that I would have more control over how often I was motivated and, you know, how I would motivate myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it took a lot of work because a lot of times when we depend on other people,
yeah.
And we need them to pump us up and make us feel good, now you're at their beck and call. And if they don't do it, then what are you going to go around feeling depressed for that day? So I really, you know, had to experience some things in my life, you know. So, you know, when I talk about having been dropped out, I was at a luncheon on Wednesday, on Saturday, and I was with some people around about, you know, your age, graduating school about the time you graduated school.
Yeah, okay.
So just a few years before me, but it was funny because there was a gentleman there, and I said to him about having been a high school dropout and having had, you know, the challenges that I faced going to jail and then going back to school and what have you. And he says, oh, well, you know, it took that stuff to motivate you. And I never thought of it. And I never thought of it like that. And
yeah,
I was like, huh? I was like, come again? he was like, well, and I didn't realize that my husband knows him. It was my husband's event. And my husband was just telling me just yesterday that the guy, he's a coach and has been a coach. He was a wrestling coach for years at Barringer High School. So at the time I'm talking to him, I don't know if he's an insurance agent, bank broker. I don't know what he is, but he just said it so calmly. I should have known he was in the field of some type of education,
yeah,
or dealing with youth, because he just said it like it was such a reason. You know, he said, "Well, it took that stuff to motivate you, not like maybe it took that or no."
Right.
He said, "You know, that's what it took. That's what motivated you." He said, "You know, like that stuff that you went through motivated you that when you went back to school, you were able to go from high school dropout all the way to working on a PhD. And I says, oh, okay, I never thought of it like that. So for some people, sometimes they look at the stuff that's in their past. Like, say, for instance, I work with people that are incarcerated. Sometimes they feel so horrible. Like, they don't even want to mention what they went through. You know, I know people who have been raped.
Said, you know, I don't have enough time, you know.
Well, I know
but,
people,
you know,
they feel...
Jim Rohn said, time is our most valuable asset. Yet we tend to waste it, kill it, and spend it rather than invest it. We can no more afford to spend major time on minor things than we can spend minor time on major things. The greatest definition for a contract I ever heard is, wherever you are, be there. You don't get paid for the hour, you get paid for the value you bring to an hour. And I think, again, we all have the same amount of time, but it's how we use it, you know?
You know, and that's why I'm trying to, you know, these people who overlook the stuff that they've been through, or they try to, I understand there's some things that are just so painful that you got to forget, and some things you do forget. But what I got from this young man is that the stuff you went through, the hell you went through, that stuff is what motivated you when you did go back. So I'm just not so comfortable with people discounting all of their horribleness. I'm just not so into that. Because, you know, I've been thinking that for the longest, and then to run into this guy just on Saturday, never saw this guy a day in my life, to put it in such a short sentence like that. That stuff motivated you. And people are having these family members and whatnot that they can't seem to get motivated. Maybe you can motivate them by letting them know that what they went through is the very reason that they now I'm doing my own Jim Rohn style of personal development motivation. Maybe they need to realize that because of what you went through, loss of children, whatever the situation might have been, because I know it can get rough. Maybe that's what they need to motivate them to go and do this, this, and that. Like right now, I'll give you a prime example. I'm using this theory. I'm just like coming up with it as we're speaking.
That's the thing about the exchange.
I'm using this theory right now on a young woman who had a horrible life. I mean, she really did. She'll come on here one day and she'll tell you everything. Just flat out horrible.
Yeah, close.
She's almost 40, and you know it's just been bad. But I'm using this to motivate her to do something now great because you had it so bad. You have an opportunity now to turn it around, and look how many people that you're going to touch. Who, if you just do one thing good, you can go and touch all those other people who have all those horrible experiences that you had.
Yeah.
And so, and this is, and now my point is, this seems to be motivating her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching a dead plant come back to life.
Yes.
You continue to water it, and every day it looks a little bit greener. Not with one day of watering, but every day it looks a little greener. And every time I talk to her, she sounds a little bit more convinced.
That's great.
That she can do it. And that's the power of motivation.
Oh, no doubt about it.
But my point, though, and I'm sure Jim Rohn, you probably know more about how he did this than I do. I didn't study him that in extensively, but I have listened to some of his things. But that motivation is, whether it comes from outside, even a person who's motivating, even the external motivation, they can only motivate you with something that you've done.
Exactly. Motivation is
about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what you did, what you've done, or what you are, or who you are. That's what motivation is. So when we ask these children who are not motivated, when we say to them, "Boy, you're really good. You're really good at naming all them. Listen, you're really good at naming all those songs. Wow, I didn't know. Boy, you know every song that Jay-Z has ever written."
There's something to see.
That's motivation. It's showing. See, people, you know what? I'm going to have to write a book on motivation. Because people, I hear too many people, you know, say, "Oh, these kids, and they're not motivated, and I can't motivate them." But that's because you haven't taken the time to see who they are and what they are. That's it. Come on, you know, Terry. Now, you know, because you're in this field, so I know you know. You're like, inside, you're like laughing, like, "Yeah, Lisa, you finally got it." Like, "Lisa, you finally got it at almost 60. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm excited. I'm just, you know, yes, I'm saying this, but at the same time, it's like just being dumped in my mind. It's like God is giving me a download right now.
Well, that's the thing, but that's why, you know, when you and I get together, I mean, this is the type of things that we spark in each other. Because, again, but just imagine if we had a room full of 1,000 people and we were all sharing, you know, our ideas. I mean, again, it's success. I mean, you can't do it by yourself. I mean, it's about people coming together and sharing and learning and growing together, you know. And Jim Rohn says, he says, success is nothing more than a few simple disciplines practiced every day, while failure is simply a few errors in judgment repeated every day. It is the cumulative weight of our disciplines and our judgment that leads us to either fortune or failure. I mean, you know, as the Bible says, it's all in the power of the tongue, you know, what you say to others, but also, more important, what you say to yourself. I'm great. I'm okay. My family's okay. I'm growing each and every day. You know, Louise Hay talks about affirmations and how affirmations are so important. What you tell yourself is more important than what anybody else can tell you. If you're convinced that you're great, that every day is a learning opportunity, you're going to live in that particular reality, and people will be drawn to you because of that. You know, I think more people learn more from me just from my example than anything I can ever sit down and tell them, because sometimes they don't want to listen to that. But it's that's the way I walk down the street, I've been stopped on the street by brothers and said, "You know, brother, that's a really nice suit that you have on there, you know?" I mean, and that opens up the door for some conversation. And who knows what it might open up to them. You know, I might see them maybe 5, 10 years later at a business expo, and they say, you know what, talking to you, I decided to start my own business. I'm messing around with this. I decided, you know what, if Mr. Benjamin can do it, I can do it as well. And that makes my day when I hear stories. And I've heard many of those stories because I've been around for a little while, you know, motivating people and being motivated. So, yeah, I mean, I share these stories because they're real. They are, as far as I'm concerned, little miracles every day.
Hey, you know what? And that is so true. That is so true about, you know, these opportunities that we have. And I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful to your topic today. When I saw it, I was like, wow, this is so, so on point because, you know, here, you know, every week, most of the times all week for the past 3 years, we've been on here on the radio doing this broadcast. And before this, now we were on Harvest Radio for 3 years as well. So now been doing the radio business 6 years and didn't even realize it. I started with the little online radio program called Audio Acrobat, which they're still around. I started with that program in 2004. And I was I don't know how I learned about it from somewhere, but it came out as a radio program for women.
Yeah.
So I think I learned about it at some women's conference or what have you to give women, you know, a voice. So this was in 2004. So I signed up for it, and I did a few shows on there. I interviewed maybe about 5 or 6 people. And one of the persons I interviewed was my mom, which,
Great.
And you see, that was 2004, and she passed in 2005.
Wow.
And so now I no longer have that file, unfortunately. I kept the program for about a year, and then I got rid of it, but, you know, anyway, I don't know what they did with the files, and I've been trying to reach out to them, but... Because, you know, that thing is in cyberspace somewhere, so it didn't die. But
so, it's out there somewhere, right?
I may have to pay a small fortune to get it back, but to hear that interview with her would be so worth it because it was very dynamic. And, you know, but anyway, so, you know, doing the radio like that, talking about motivation is certainly important to me, and I know it's important to you.
Oh,
and,
no doubt about it.
You know, Jim Rohn and the whole concepts of personal development. And so as I go today is the day I go and teach a group of people. And I'm just excited because when I go in there today, I just feel even more prepared
to do what I need to do.
I need to really motivate them because, you know, they're all been incarcerated. They all have a criminal record. They're all battling a drug addiction, and they're looking like, okay, lady, you're coming in here. How are you going to help us?
And it's funny because that's the challenge, you know. But you know what? When you go in there, you're not speaking just from your own understanding. You got years of invested education and whatnot, and you got God, you know. So sometimes you just open your mouth and let him speak through you, that's all.
You know, and I'm just so happy that now that I have this better understanding of motivation, so thank you for bringing this topic today. It's really helping me. Now when I go there, I can really, you know, kind of talk about things like, well, do you want to keep getting what you're getting? I may even keep doing what you're doing. No, many Tuesdays. No, there's no accident that you're on Tuesdays. And I go there, I just go there once a week on Tuesdays. Many Tuesdays, whatever we've talked about, whatever you brought to the table, that's what I started out the conversation with.
Great. I love that. Yes.
And now,
so
yes. Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding?
I appreciate it. Thanks for the trip.
So when you say you want to get in front of thousands, you've been in front of hundreds because I've been doing this all year, and every week I have about anywhere from 20 to 25 students. So when I go there today,
you never know, you know.
Yeah, I'll probably do that talk about. I'll probably start out asking them, and so tell me what is it that you want to get. Then let's talk about how you got to do what it takes to get it, because a lot of people. And that's what that says to me. If you want to keep getting what you're getting, just keep doing what you're doing. And, of course, I'll give the credit to Les Brown, and I'll say that, you know, you reminded us of that today on the broadcast. But I want to get these individuals to see that whatever you get is because of what you do. And that's how it is. That's motivation right there.
Yeah, and T.G. Jakes says, you know, sometimes you have to reposition yourself, you know.
Yes.
And sometimes it makes it like make a little minor adjustment, you know.
Exactly.
Big thing, but it has big dividends, you know.
Exactly, and you know, and that, and I think one of the hardest things to motivate is someone that's already, you know, made hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even, in a particular lifestyle that they can no longer go back to. You know, that's like
well,
an athlete.
As long as we're living, there's always growth, you know.
And that's what I got to talk about with them, about the growth, because that's like an athlete who may have been making millions, and let's just say they get hurt or what have you, or something happens, they can no longer go back to making their income that way.
Yes.
So now they're, and a lot of them just start getting high, they start doing drugs. Some of
them
can't handle it. They can't handle it because of what you just said. They don't understand growth. And that's what I think. Maybe that'll be my topic today, growth. I like that. How are you going to grow? I think that sums it up, Terry. I really do. I thank you for being able to stay with us the whole hour today.
Oh, thank you.
Versus the half hour, because a lot came out. I think we needed this hour. I think that's.
I think so, because this was a big subject, you know.
It is. It really is much bigger than 30. Most all your subjects are bigger than 30 minutes. You've just been so poised at being able to do it in 30.
Oh, well, you know? Thank you for that, you know.
Yeah, and because I don't think Oprah Winfrey started off with like an hour show every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think she started out with something very, probably like a little 10-minute segment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it grows and develops, you know, because, you know, you, like I said, that momentum is a serious thing. You never know where it will take you, you know.
I think I like, but I think I'm going to have an explosive workshop today because of you, and I so thank you and appreciate you so much. I thank God for your life. I ask God to continue to bless you and empower you, give you the fortitude to continue to do what you do, to do the research, to bring your wisdom and knowledge and experiences to the Lalisa Williams Show. I'm sure each and every person that's listening is getting a lot out of this. I'm going to encourage people to go back and listen to the archives. I'm going to post it as soon as the show is over. But I really think this is a huge, huge topic, the growth, and especially for the people that I'm dealing with, because they need to grow. That's probably one of their main problems. They don't see how they're going to grow.
Right.
And I believe if I could get them to start focusing on growing, I think they'll get excited about their life.
Yeah. Well, I really thank you for the opportunity, and I just want to just leave with just one quick quote here from Jim Rohn. He says here, "Let others lead small lives, but not you. Let others argue over small things, but not you. Let others cry over small hurts, but not you. Let others leave their future in someone else's hands, but not you." And so again, the final note, man, look, life is what you make it. And then that's the truth.
Awesome. Well, Terry, we'll see you back next Tuesday. And as for the rest of you, thank you for staying tuned throughout the entire broadcast. If you have any comments or questions, next time, now that we do have an hour, we'll start taking questions. We'll be back next Tuesday with Professor Terry Benjamin. Tomorrow, I have another awesome guest coming on to the broadcast, Ms. Leslie K. Howard. She is an author. She has a new book out. She's coming on to talk to us about her new book. She is right here in Newark, New Jersey. The title of her book, Sisters with Sass. And her book is debuting, and she's doing big, big things. She's got the Leslie Howard Ministries going on, so you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. And we want to be able to lift up local people right here on Blog Talk Radio with the Lalisa Williams Show. You're going to start to see that we're going to have more people on each and every day of the week here to motivate and empower. That's what our show is about. We're getting back to our initial format of the show. We had kind of gotten away from it, but now we're coming back, but we're coming back stronger and better, coming back bigger and better with the theme of the show, and that is to bring on people that can motivate you into your destiny with the things that they've done, seen, and been through, and things that will help you. So again, Terry, can't thank you enough.
Everyone, all right, thank you. Have a great day. Great life.
You too, right, everyone. That's right. Okay. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you back tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.